The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio. Bob on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show. I call him my... what do I call him? Friendgineer. He's my friend and he's my engineer, making sure all the buttons are pushed and I go in the right direction or whatever. It's the Buckmaster Show on Thursday, May 10th, 2019. You're listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted local news and talk. You know, we make it very easy for you to listen to this program, whether it be live, if you're around a computer, you can plug us in at buckmastershow.com and you'd get the live stream really anywhere in the world. And then within an hour or two of the conclusion of the program, my long time assistant, Rosemary Brandt, make sure that those podcasts are up and available, not only from today's show, but the archive is available, and it's just amazing what we've got there. So much material. 790-2040 is our live line number if you have any questions or comments for the superintendent of the Tucson Unified School District, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, who is gracious enough and to come on this program every other month. We do schedule him in that rotation, and this rotation comes up now near the end of the school year. Dr. Trujillo, always a pleasure, sir.
It is a pleasure to be back. Thank you, Bill. I love being back in the friendly confines of the KVOI studio. And I got to tell you, I am a podcast guy. I love the listen anytime to the Bill Buckmaster Show. I generally will pull down the podcast about 6 o'clock while I'm making dinner. Mm-hmm. I think that is one of the best additions to the show. And you can get those podcasts, of course, at buckmaster.com.
Yeah, that's right, buckmastershow.com. Dr. Trujillo, how would you characterize school year 2018-2019?
The 18-19 school year can be characterized as progress, but not perfection. We have a lot of work yet to do, but I'm very proud that we've been able to show the city of Tucson, and certainly the residents of the Tucson Unified Community, our students, staff, and parents, that the district has taken some strong steps forward. So we've shown some very, very demonstrable progress in a lot of areas this year.
There was confusion about enrollment. One newspaper report kind of mixed up what I think you were not happy with, that the way declining enrollment turned out. What's the real story of declining enrollment, Dr. Trujillo, for this school year?
Well, the real story of declining enrollment is you take the amount of students that ended up being physically present in schools for the first 10 days of the school year, and you compare that to the physical amount of students that were physically present in schools for the first 10 days of the school year for 17-18, which mm-hmm. would be the previous year. And that translated to just under 1,300 students lost for us year mm-hmm. over year. Mm-hmm. And so it was another year of declining enrollment, which of course presents a litany of challenges, because we know that we survive and thrive off of the per pupil funding that comes for each student. So we started the year with a significant challenge with regard to declining enrollment.
But you believe the hemorrhaging is slowing.
Well, that's what we want to see for kicking off 19-20. And it's very, very bittersweet, because you always look for what I call to be the trifecta when you open up a school year. You want increased academic performance, right? So you want schools moving forward on the A through F letter grade system. You want decrease in the amount of teacher vacancies that you have, and you want an increase in enrollment. That to me is a trifecta. And this year was bittersweet, because we opened up 18-19 with two out of the three. And of course, 19-20, we're going to be chasing slowing down this enrollment loss, because it is very, very destructive to what it is that we need to be doing to move the district forward, because you're losing millions of dollars in revenue.
What was done right this year?
I think what was done right is our academic performance. We took a quarter of the entire system, 22 schools that are measured on the system, that were able to move, that were able to actually move forward entire letter grades, moving from F to D, D to C, C to D, D to B, and B to A. half of the high schools now rated A or B is just such a wonderful achievement, where just 2 years ago, half of the high schools were actually rated D or F. So the academic indicators, again, progress but not perfection. We still have 16 DNF schools. That's unacceptable. We want to eliminate them all. We want to bring all of those schools up to at least C or better. And that's going to be the goal with this new term that we have been blessed with on our team.
16 schools out of a portfolio of?
86 that are measured on the A through F letter grade system.
So you feel that certainly that's not an acceptable percentage, but it's workable.
It's workable. It's progress. And to be honest with you, acceptable is zero. Just like teacher vacancies, acceptable is zero teacher vacancies. We don't stop until we hit zero. Same thing with our academic product. We want zero DRF rated schools in our district.
Vacancy situation this school year?
Heading into this school year, we're actually doing a lot better. We're going to be heading into 1920 with 74 vacancies. And when we did a year-over-year analysis last year at this time, we were almost at 170 vacancies. So we're heading in with almost 100 fewer vacancies, with still what I call peak hiring time. We have peak hiring time during April, May, and then once you hit to mid-June, it's pretty much off. So we are really working aggressively to take advantage of what's left of peak hiring time. And then you do some hiring between June and July, but it's very, very spotty. Once you get to July, after that July 4th weekend, the race is for the best long-term subs that you can find on the market. So we're going to be aggressive here for the last 6 weeks of the hiring season. We have another job fair coming up the first week of June. We're going to try to capture the best parts of the market that are still out there to hopefully get as close to zero as we can to open up 1920.
When does your school year begin next year?
Our school year is the first week of August. I believe it's August 6th. Mm-hmm. We're going to be kicking off the school year.
There's no downtime for a superintendent like Tucson, that you heading up Tucson Unified.
There's really not a lot of downtime because the bulk of the spring season is really getting our board members informed and knowledgeable of the budgetary and the financial situations, because that's really one of the biggest parts of their job is adopting the school district's budget. And so you spend the bulk of the spring making sure that they're well informed. They have all the cost estimates that they need. They know what you're going to advocate for as a superintendent. A big part of their budget is compensation packages for the different employment groups. So that really takes up a lot of your spring. Once you get into summer, you know, you're getting ready for the opening of school. You're finalizing professional development for your principals. You're making sure that your facilities are ready for the kids coming in. You're making sure that your transportation routes are finalized, and every week you're looking at enrollment, and every week you're looking at teacher vacancies. So it's busy.
Have you presented the budget proposal to the board?
Not in a total package. The board has had a series of budget study sessions where I've been able to publicly present, this is what I'm advocating for as your superintendent. We may not be able to afford all these things, but these are the things that I'm going to bring forward for your consideration, so they know where I'm coming from. And now we're heading into the phase where we're finalizing negotiations with our teacher association group, TEA, so that we can hopefully have some sort of an agreed upon salary package that our board can look at tentatively as soon as May 21st in a public meeting.
And one of the highlights, certainly for you in your professional career, was the endorsement of the governing board to give you an extension of your contract. That must be very gratifying for you.
It does feel really, really good, because for me, it's very important that all five of our governing board members view me as somebody that advocates for them as a unit, and that really values all of their perspectives and opinions equally, that distributes and communicates information evenly across all five of the team members, and that they feel confident that the district is progressing. Though the district is not perfect, we certainly have significant challenges and obstacles, but for the five of them to feel that all right, this team, and I certainly don't do things alone, Bill, you know that. I have a wonderful team that I work with.
You have a full team, certainly.
Amazing principals, teachers, and a district leadership team that enough progress has been made where they feel that blessing our team with another 2 years is something they can all support. It's a privilege.
After the break, we'll be talking about teacher compensation, what the legislature is doing about giving teachers a year after the whole Red for Ed thing. Where are we? This is kind of a moving target right now, isn't it, Dr. Trujillo? We really don't know what the legislative package is going to look like, budget package.
It's very much a moving target, yeah. It's going to be an interesting conversation when we get back from break.
But right now, Dr. Trujillo, it's time for Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Have you been up there yet to try the hot breakfast?
I have not tried the hot breakfast. As I always say, I am a big fan of their coffee.
Mm-hmm.
I will always stop by Mona's for coffee, but what's on my list is to try that hot breakfast.
Yeah, the hot breakfast now is up and running at Mona's Danish Bakery. What I've been doing, Dr. Trujillo, is ordering a couple of eggs, any way you like them, with some hash browns. Then I look over at the bakery case, and then I go for one of those, oh my goodness, chocolate croissant. That is a breakfast you could write home about. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. There's also a link, not only to Mona's, but all of the great partners. There's over 24 partners listed at BuckmasterShow.com. These are people, Dr. Trujillo, who believe in the work we do here and make it possible.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. We'll be right back on Buckmaster on 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Moa Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-7000. 6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Coming up over the Memorial Day weekend, which is really just around the corner, one of our great sponsors, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. You know, it's only a three-hour drive over to that area, and they've got the Blues Festival that is coming up over the three-day Memorial Day weekend. This has become a national event, so it's something to put on your radar screen, or if you're thinking, maybe we'll get out of town for the weekend. Well, why not a road trip over to Silver City? It's southwestnewmexico.org. That's the website. You'll find great places to stay and all sorts of ideas for recreating. But again, the Blues Festival is coming up, so make that a consideration for you. It's 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk here with Buckmaster. We've been here on the radio since 2011. We have Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, superintendent at Tucson Unified. One of the areas that I think looking at success has been changing your security, that you have kind of a keyless entry system. Is that correct now?
Yeah. And I want to thank our governing board for that. They really threw in and said, what can we do to make our schools a little safer? So we've been able to implement and install keyless entry boxes at main entrances to all of our schools. It's made our elementary schools, which are smaller and more community mm-hmm. and certainly more enclosed, significantly harder to penetrate if you're an invader, if you're somebody coming right. in with bad intentions. We still got some work to do on our high schools, because though the keyless entry systems at the high schools, they handle the main entrance, the high schools are just big, huge places, and there's certainly mm-hmm. several other areas where outside invaders can get on the campus and do some things. So we're going to probably in coming years look at hopefully trying to invest in some cameras and maybe a little bit more money for some additional keyless entry boxes for multiple places located around the high schools.
Last year, of course, was the Red for Ed around this time, around budget time. What was that deal, and what is still to be resolved? Could you kind of give us the bottom line with teacher compensation?
Well, the bottom line with teacher compensation is they were promised by the governor of the state that they would see 20% raises by the year 2020. Now, what the governor didn't say is that those monies would be embedded into the per pupil funding formula that's used to fund public schools,
wow.
which makes it subject to enrollment. So immediately your districts that are declining in enrollment are at an immediate disadvantage,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because if the governor really wanted to do that fairly and had a vision for doing that
fairly, would have been across the board.
It would have been across the board. He would have cut a check and handed it over to the district and say, here's the exact dollar amount that you need to make sure that every teacher in your district receives a 10% raise, which was the promise last year.
But now it's tied to enrollment.
But now it's tied to enrollment because it's in the per pupil funding formula. So if you have fewer students, you have less of an ability to provide the 10% raise. So our governing board did a fantastic job last year working with what they had available
mm-hmm.
to pass one of the largest teacher increases in Tucson Unified history and one of the most lucrative salary packages that is now offered in Pima County. So now we're in year two,
right?
So year two of the governor's vision is a 5% raise on the march to 20% by 2020. We are in the same situation. Our teachers, not just in Tucson Unified, but teachers across Pima County and quite frankly across the state, they're expecting a 5% raise.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are working very, very diligently with the Tucson Education Association to work through the negotiations process, through our meet and confer bargaining process, to see what can we do, how close can we come, and what can we do to hit this 5% so that we can honor the legislative intent and the promise of this governor, because it's out there. And what is more complicated is we have a legislative session that's still running. So we don't even have a guarantee yet.
I'm hearing almost the end of June before that session.
Correct. We're still hearing that the governor's proposal to infuse the per pupil funding formula for districts across the state with the additional 5% monies, that's still very much being discussed. It's not finalized yet.
Work in progress.
It's a work in progress, wow. So we don't know when that work's going to be done.
Matt has called us at 790-2040. Matt, what's on your mind?
Oh, well, you know, as usual, I just want to compliment the superintendent because he's doing a really good job, and he's navigated a very difficult time period. My one question to him is, I know he's got his eye focused always on the governor, but I'll be brutally honest, it's the legislature, and especially David Gowan at Appropriations and Frank Leach, who have probably the biggest impact on Tucson and Pima County. And I just wonder, what is the superintendent's strategy to deal with the legislature in total, not just to pick out those two, both now and as we move forward? Every year we build on last year. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Superintendent?
No, that's a wonderful question. And we recognize that it's the legislature that votes on the budget. And we do, I mean, I hold them wholly responsible. I think that I'm looking at a governor who made a promise that is subject to legislative approval. And that's why I also hold the governor responsible to an extent. But to answer the question, my strategy with the legislature is I meet personally with several legislators, and they're very targeted legislators that tend to be moderate on both sides of the aisle. As you know, as superintendent, I'm apolitical. My job is to represent the interests of the Tucson Unified community. So I work with Republicans, I work with Democrats that are pro-education or that might be on the fence, might be a little more fiscally conservative, but maybe through relationships might be able to come a little bit more to the center and
people
support.
You feel you could work with.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so I just visited the Capitol on the 29th of April. I had a full day of legislative visits. We targeted seven legislators that tend to be on the fence with education and kind of thinking about.
But they listened.
Mm-hmm. And I was able to present our needs in terms of increased funding for career and technical education programs, the need for the 5% revenue to come into the district so we can attempt to meet the needs of the teachers and the 5%. We had very good discussions about our desegregation situation and how that impacts our ability to address a lot of the underutilized space issues that we see, the successes we've seen with desegregation. So it's a very powerful strategy that I use in terms of meeting with legislators one-on-one as opposed to maybe addressing a session. I think addressing a session sometimes is important, but I haven't found it to be as powerful as meeting one-on-one and traveling to the Capitol. I think there'll always be a time where I may have to testify in front of a session or a large group or in front of a committee, but it certainly I haven't found it to be as effective as sort of the one-on-one meetings where I can actually provide district data.
I have about 2 minutes left with Dr. Trujillo. The unitary status, or what is commonly referred to as the desegregation suit, what was the progress that was made during this school year?
Well, for the first time, the federal court came out on September 6th and said, this district has not only shown progress on complying with this decades-old case, it's actually complied to the extent that we're going to release them from 26 of the 52 provisions of this order. And we're going to set an aggressive timeline for them that we expect them to fulfill the remaining provisions within the next calendar year. We want to see them applying for full release from court supervision. So we're excited about that.
What does that mean if you were released fully? Would this be a financial burden for the district?
Two things happen if we're released from court supervision. Full, complete, comprehensive governance returns to where it should be in the hands of our five governing board members to free and clear govern this school district. Two, we would be in a position to significantly reduce, not eliminate, but reduce significantly the amount of additional money that we are levying from the taxpayers from the Tucson Unified Community and the city of Tucson. So those are really two positive outcomes.
Remaining minute, the goal then will be for the new school year. What will it be for 2019-2020?
The goal for 2019-2020 is to reform middle grades education in Tucson Unified Middle Schools. They are the crux of our enrollment loss. They're the crux of our academic challenges. They have the highest class sizes, largest teacher vacancy rates. It's sort of the epicenter of where the conditions that are challenging TUSD sort of all collide in a hyper-pronounced way.
So that will be a focus.
Big focus.
Dr. Trujillo, always a pleasure. We will talk to you into the summer and see how we're progressing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. I'm looking forward to the next series of shows. You're going to have some guest hosts.
We will. We've got a wonderful lineup. Of course, I take off tomorrow for vacation. It all starts tomorrow with Dan Gibson from Visit Tucson. He's going to take a deep dive into the film industry here. Other hosts will include Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News. Shelley Fishman's got some great shows lined up. We've got Matt Russell with some food show that he's going to be doing. And so Ray Allen here, our operations manager, is doing a show. And a show 1 week from today I'm excited about. Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel will be doing a travel show, and I'll be adding my two cents, calling in from the island of Antigua. That is 1 week from today. So we'll see how all of that goes well, and I hope it does go well, and I know it will. All right, that's Buckmaster Halfway Point on 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Time for our CEO interview series presented by Sun Corridor, Inc., a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. Sun Corridor, Inc. is a CEO-driven regional alliance whose members aggressively champion mega regional issues that impact economic competitiveness and quality of life. The organization has helped to drive significant business investment into Tucson and Southern Arizona through primary job creation, resulting in an economic impact of, get this, $24.8 billion, with 162 company locates and expansions supporting nearly 48,000 jobs. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com. Joining me on the live line, Barbie Reuter. Barbie is the president and principal of the Tucson-based Cushman and Wakefield PICOR Commercial Real Estate Services. Barbie is also chair of the Tucson Metro Chamber Board of Directors. Barbie, how are you?
Excellent, Bill. Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about how PICOR is riding this, what I believe, a crest of economic expansion and development that we've had over the 12 months. How is that impacting what you do, Barbie?
Well, Bill, it's a tremendous time to live in this region. I've been here for 40 years. Our company's been here for close to that. We're coming up on 34. It's great times. It's across the spectrum. It's gotten to the point where there's some pockets of the commercial real estate market where product's hard to find, and it hasn't been that way for a long time.
What would those pockets be? What part of the sector needs some improvement?
You know, the vacancy rate in the industrial market is very low. We're down in inventory to a selection of some functionally obsolescent space, and then some of the larger spaces over 100,000 square feet that are really primed for the kinds of businesses that Sun Corridor attracts.
PICOR is Tucson-based and, of course, employee-owned. And Barbie, as you know, you are tied to a global company in Cushman and Wakefield. How does that benefit your local clients? You're dealing, obviously, your people are local and you're dealing with local clients. How does the big picture affect you and the clients?
Oh, thanks, Bill. It's the best of both worlds, really, because we get to keep our local identity and decision-making and invest in the community instead of a corporate headquarters somewhere. Cushman and Wakefield has 400 offices or more in 70 countries. And,
really?
And tremendous. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Tremendous resources. We can tap their marketing and research capabilities. They have market insights and reach into other markets when our clients have needs. So if an owner has property in multiple cities, including Tucson, we can serve them across the board or refer them to some of our professionals around the world.
Barbie, as you well know, being in the business as long as you have, the real estate business, the commercial end, and the residential for that matter, it's a cyclical business. And I'm curious, Barbie, where are we in the real estate cycle right now in Tucson, Arizona?
Oh, I think people like to guess what inning we're in, and I'm not going to go there. But, you know, commercial real estate serves business and commerce. We're all inextricably linked to job creation and workforce development, and Tucson's certainly on the map. I think what we hear about the cycle nationally, Tucson probably follows, and that's that we're in fairly safe economic times, hopefully through 2020. From an economic development perspective, I think the greatest issue really for Tucson is how we keep building on our momentum. We have a great public-private collaboration that we haven't seen since prior to the recession, and that's going to really help us move forward.
In your duties as chair at the Tucson Metro Chamber, are you feeling a renewed enthusiasm in this community right now for economic development, Barbie?
There's no question, and I think that public-private collaboration has a lot to do with it, and multiple organizations like Sun Corridor and the Chamber and SALC and the offices of economic expansion and the UA Tech Park and the university and the military really some commonality about what we need to do and how we serve this community best.
If someone's looking for, and they are a real estate investor or a business owner, when they come, they're looking for like a commercial property or property manager, what are some of the things that they should keep in mind, Barbie?
Well, I think a firm with some depth and expertise is key, abroad and a deep bench and some staying power in the market. Culture is important. I think that's reflected not just internally but externally. At our firm, we have a collaborative culture, not a me-first one, which is really attractive for our team members and also sends a message to our clients that they aren't just hiring an individual, they're really getting all of us. And then community ties, obviously that's a common thread and key to our mission, community ties and involvement. It permeates the way we do business and how we resolve conflict with our competitors and with clients and with our own professionals.
One of the big areas is job creation, of course, is education. And I know my friends over at Pima Community College have been doing a very good job over there in helping with Caterpillar, and they are available for, this is something that when a site selector looks for a possible location, education and job development is so important, isn't it, Barbie?
Truly. And we have tremendous workforce development partners in this community, and we need to continue to invest in that. And there really are kind of three key legs of the stool in putting people to work and matching skills, and that's the educational providers and then the folks looking for jobs or looking to upskill, and the employers themselves.
Barbie Reuter is with us. Barbie is president, principal of Cushman and Wakefield Picor Commercial Real Estate Services. Barbie's very active in the Tucson community. She's chair of the Tucson Metro Chamber. What are the challenges facing now, facing Tucson and economic development? Barbie, as you know, this is such a competitive area. I think it was very positive that Sun Corridor was able to bring a lot of the people that make decisions about where to locate. They brought them to Tucson, and they actually were able to meet these people face-to-face and put them up at a beautiful resort. I believe they were out at Star Pass. How important are events like that, Barbie Reuter?
I think it's been tremendous, both in terms of exposing site selectors to our community and bringing our community together and identifying what our shortfalls might be so that we can shore them up. And I think transportation and investment in roads and infrastructure is going to be absolutely key going forward to meet those needs.
How are we doing with air service? I know I always try to fly out of Tucson, and we'll be doing so tomorrow. When we head off on vacation, I always encourage people fly local because you're supporting local jobs. How is that sector doing, do you think, Barbie?
It's important that we do that. Fly Tucson First is an initiative that the Chamber's partnered with the airport to really encourage people to think about flying out of Tucson and to understand the hidden costs of flying out of Phoenix or into Phoenix. And it's an important asset for our community, and the more air travel we direct to and from here, the more attractive it is for additional flights to be added.
All right, Barbie, any goals that you have set for the upcoming fiscal year for your company and for the chamber? What's at the top of your list, Barbie Reuter?
Oh, thank you. Well, it's a service first and a relationship first mentality. Our team has grown. We've been gradually replacing our founding generation with the next generation, and it's an energized group. We're really excited.
Barbie, thank you very much. It's always great circling back and talking with you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill. Take good care.
Thank you very much. Barbie Reuter from Cushman and Wakefield Picor Commercial Real Estate Services. Also, she's the chair of the Tucson Metro Chamber. For more information about Sun Corridor, please visit suncorridorinc.com. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Every day, your safety and freedom is protected by the service and sacrifice of our first responders and military. Please join us in this community effort to build the Southern Arizona Veterans and First Responders Living Memorial, a place to celebrate those who have paid the price for our freedom and those who continue to defend it today. Help create a space where these memories, past, present, and future, will live forever. Learn more and donate by visiting vfrm.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. It's lunchtime. If you're anywhere near Swan and Sunrise, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, why not stop right now? Have some lunch. Or if you haven't had breakfast, they're serving that too, a hot breakfast all day. But the lunch right now, why not? How about the hot turkey? I know I talk about it, but that's what I love, the hot turkey sandwich on that great rustic bread. And then for dessert, I would choose a brownie would be really nice to top it all off. Mona's Danish Bakery, open right now for lunch and breakfast, corner of Swan and Sunrise. After you've had your lunch at Mona's, do you need any gardening supplies? How about green things? 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a 13-acre site filled with all sorts of things for your garden, great plants. But then the wonderful merchandise from Zocalo, from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. In fact, there are five shops in what is now called Zocalo Village at Green Things. Starting place? How about greenthingsaz.com or zocalovillage.com? Let's go now on the live line to San Diego, California. Dr. Robert Hendricks, the Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education. He's also one of 24 and counting, we're over two dozen contributors to the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Hendricks, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. I know you're excited about your upcoming holiday.
Yes, I am. I'm very excited about the trip. It's now less than 24 hours away. But, you know, I woke up this morning. It doesn't matter how much you travel. there's always a little bit of nervousness. Maybe it's just me, but I think other travelers experience this. And I know, Dr. Hendricks, you travel the world, a lot of trips to Asia. Am I alone in this, or do you also feel that a little bit of travel anxiety?
Yeah, a little bit of anxiety, and I just sort of focus on the schedule and try to move ahead and not worry about anything that might delay me, because I think it's inevitable that you're going to have some bumps along the road.
Yep.
Just expect that, because if you don't expect it, it's just going to stress you out. And why ruin your vacation?
There you go. What's this about universities finding more and more students who are engaged in cheating? What is this all about?
Well, I think there's always been cheating, Bill, but when I was a college dean at the University of Arizona, I dealt with a number of academic infractions. And I would say probably the most frequent and blatant was plagiarism. Mm. Essentially, students copying somebody else's work and presenting it as their own. And, in the academic community, this is essentially considered stealing. And it can have very serious consequences, including the student could fail the class, or there could be, just outright expulsion from the university. And what's curious about this, in a sense, is that, the internet is partly responsible for this, because we've made it so easy to do. Students can get information access, and they can share it. And so I'm not surprised sometimes when I hear students feel that they're entitled to use whatever information they find and simply cut and paste it.
Mm. Mm.
And, students have done that. I have many examples where students just simply cut and paste an article that they found and represent it as their own.
Wow.
And one place where students tend to gravitate to is Wikipedia, which is an internet source that I'm sure on occasion you've looked at, and I know I do too.
Sure.
But in the academic world, Wikipedia is not an acceptable source, and the reason it's not is it's an open source document. In other words, anybody can contribute information to the article, whether it's accurate or not. And so Wikipedia really is not a reliable source for information, although oftentimes it's used. And students think that it's there, somebody's done the work for me, I'll go ahead and cut and paste it and submit it as my own. In fact, I had a case of a graduate student, and we usually don't think graduate students of doing this kind of thing, but we had a graduate student who was caught plagiarizing, and he used Wikipedia. And when he was confronted with it, he actually said, well, I didn't plagiarize because I was the one that contributed the written information to Wikipedia. Therefore, I didn't copy it. But the problem is with Wikipedia, you can't prove that because there's really no contact to verify that information. So students will argue about plagiarism. I've heard every excuse in the book, but essentially it's laziness, and it's not accidental. Most students will do it because it's an easy way out. And, another part of that, and this is probably, older than the internet, and that is you take a paper that a friend has submitted and you resubmit it and you hope that nobody will know. Well, there is a way to know, and we've talked before on the program about artificial intelligence, and there is a software package that many universities are now using. It's called Turnitin, and it requires that all students submit their papers in advance to this company. And this company has a central data processor that stores all previous written papers, published articles, internet sources. In other words, there are literally millions of artifacts in this database. And the student is required, as part of the course, signs off their paper and then becomes part of the Turnitin inventory. It gets submitted, and within 24 hours or less, the student and the professor get a copy back, and it shows the match of material, percentage of matched material from what was turned in and what they were able to determine, you know, in their data search. So the professor gets it back. I get it back. I see that there's a 2% match. I might look at it and say, well, that's, you know, those are just words that are matched. But if you get like an 80% match or 95% match, it will color code everything it matches. It will also tell you the source of where that information came from.
Wow.
Just absolutely, absolutely amazing. Now, there have been several lawsuits that students have filed that say the paper that I've written is my property, and I'm not going to allow you, the university, to take my paper and put it in the data bank. And these lawsuits have been very unsuccessful. There hasn't been a case yet where students have won that. I mean, they have to sign away the rights to their paper because it has to be submitted, you know, to determine whether it's been plagiarized or not. That's one thing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I would just say, why would they think under the First Amendment that they own it or something like that, or what?
Yeah, I guess technically they could say that they owned it, that it's an original document.
Right.
However, they must sign an agreement as part of the their enrollment in the class that they're willingly going to contribute this paper. I think they can still technically own it, but they're going to contribute to the database. Just like someone who writes an article, that article becomes part of the database. And it's absolutely amazing what this system will do. And you can calibrate it, you know, by sentence, by paragraph, any way you want. You know, if you fine tune it too much, you're going to get too many matches. But if you generally do a calibration by paragraph, it's going to show you anything that is pretty much taken wholesale from a document. It's amazing.
How widespread is cheating? If you took a class of 100 students, Dr. Hendricks, what would be your guess that some kind of cheating might be going on, percentage-wise, just kind of from your personal experience, professional experience?
Well, first of all, I would say there's a high correlation between the size of the class and the cheating.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a small class where the professor knows the students, knows their writing style, knows their conversational style, the cheating is going to be very, very low. If it's a freshman class with 300 students and student assistant proctors, it could be high. I mean, it could be as high as 20%.
Wow.
I mean, there are all kinds of tricks that students can do. But generally, if it's an in-class kind of thing, it's pretty easy to monitor. Tests are easy to monitor. It's the outside assignments that tend to be more difficult to monitor. And given the plagiarism, it's a rampant problem. Now, another thing that I think faculty have learned to do is to modify their assignment. For example, it's more difficult to plagiarize if the assignment is designed properly. For example, assignment might ask the student to discuss their experiences or argue their opinion supported by references. It's a little harder to just cut and paste and borrow something when you're asking the student to personalize the response.
All right. Dr. Hendricks, we're going to have to run. Always a pleasure. We'll look forward to your visit with us in June. Thank you, Bob.
Absolutely. And have a great trip, Bill.
Thank you very much. Bob Hendricks with us on the live line from San Diego on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Coming up next, Around the Table with Jennifer English. But that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. I will be away for a couple of weeks, but got a great lineup of guest hosts who will be seated in this chair, working with Bob Dio, my great engineer producer on the other side of the glass. I'll be actually checking in from the trip a week from today when we do our travel hour with Ryan Hansen. That's going to be fun. So looking forward to it. Be safe, everybody. And on behalf of Bob, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.